On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
2 minutes past 12 on the Record this Sunday lunchtime. Gavin Riley with you until 1 o'clock. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. On the Record NT is our hashtag on Twitter. Just before we move on to our next slot, just as something of a coda to our earlier discussion around COVID, there are some in Cabinet who are hoping that Ireland will follow something of the lead of Scotland, which has already seen a bit of a surge in infections as a result of Delta, but has also begun to see them trail off just a little bit. And I think what is very interesting is that Mike Bird, who has been following a lot of COVID statistics for The Economist, has tweeted a chart in the last few minutes. I've just retweeted it myself, twitter.com/GavRiley. He is pointing out that there has been not only a drop off in cases, but now also a drop off in hospital admissions in Scotland. That is basically the result of infections hitting something of a wall, where the mass penetration of vaccines means that the virus is finding it very difficult to spread onwards. So hopefully Ireland will follow something of a similar crest, where infections do surge if they have to in the next couple of weeks, but then begin to fall down a little bit. There are some in Cabinet, as I say, we're hoping that Ireland's infections will peak sometime around mid-August, and that they might begin to trail off a little bit after that as a result of a vaccine wall. Hopefully that will be the case before there's any doubt about the return to schools. We'll see what happens on that front when we hear the Cabinet next announcement on Tuesday. But for now, we're going to talk about something completely different, which is the Dying with Dignity Bill, a bill which has been on the Dáil's agenda for several years, which had been sent to the Oireachtas Justice Committee after there was an unprecedented free vote of TDs late last year. The TD sponsoring that is Gino Kenny of People Before Profit, and he's with me on the line. Gino, thank you for talking to us this lunchtime. We'll talk about what's happening to your bill in just a couple of minutes, but firstly, for those who aren't familiar with what the Dying with Dignity Bill aims to do, you might give us a little bit of an overview.
Yeah, Gavin, and thanks for having me on the show. The bill obviously was forcibly introduced in 2015 by John Halligan, but it never got to the next stage because of the general election in 2016. So it would give those with a terminal illness that's incurable a choice. And that choice would be to, you know, have a legal and medical choice to, you know, bring their life to an end medically in relation to those that have a terminal illness. So that's essentially what the bill does. And as I said, this has context in relation to the Mary Fleming case in 2013, in relation to Bernadette Ford and others. So this has been kind of an issue that has been, I think, been on the agenda for the last 8 or 9 years. And obviously I brought the bill forward in last September, and it got voted by 81 votes to 71 to go to the next stage. And that next stage was the pre-legislative scrutiny. So that's the context.
Yeah, and what's worth remembering about that vote, as you said, 81 votes to 71, there had been a proposal that the bill, instead of actually being passed at that time, would be immediately referred to a special Oireachtas committee. But at the time, you were quite sceptical about that, and you were seeking that the bill progress in the usual way, which is get its first reading in the Dáil, get voted through, and then be sent to the committee afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm still of the opinion of that, you know, the Justice Committee is the best place for the bill and the issue to be scrutinised. And obviously there was an amendment in October that was defeated by 81 votes to 71. And the 81 votes said, look, we need to kind of progress this issue, and the best place for that is the Justice Committee, a pre-legislative scrutiny.
Okay, so the bill was then sent to the Oireachtas Justice Committee, which has been examining a lot of this behind the scenes, and we're also joined on the line by the chairperson of that committee, which is Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, James Lawless. James, thank you for joining us this lunchtime. You might explain exactly what your committee has found this week.
Yeah, so good afternoon, Gavin, and I just wanted to, at the outset, thank and acknowledge Gino Kenny's efforts on this. It's a very important conversation which we need to have. I myself was one of the 81 people who voted to progress this bill at second stage last November. And actually, I think probably the majority of the committee, I'm not sure how they all voted at second stage, but the consensus view in the committee was that this is something that we need to, at the very least, look at the very least, consider. I think most of us, certainly myself, but I think most of us are open to the idea. But we need to do it right, and we need to get the fine print right. So we did an examination when the bill came through to us before Christmas. We set in place an unprecedented scrutiny of it. So all private members' bills that go to committee have a scrutiny stage, but we did, I think, over and above what would normally be done here.
Okay.
So, for example, rather than inviting particular named stakeholders, we did an open call for submissions. We got 1,400 different pieces of submission from everybody, from medical professionals, legal professionals, the general public, stakeholders. We reviewed those. We then took legal opinion, and we commissioned the Library and Research Service in the House of the Oireachtas to perform a policy analysis of it. So we did all of that, and then we took that. I suppose that came to a head last week when we considered we had to make a decision: could the bill, as drafted, proceed? And I suppose our somewhat reluctant view was that even though the majority of us said, look, we need to see how this can be advanced, this particular bill, we don't believe is the right vehicle for it. Because I don't want to, I suppose, go into maybe the detail around it.
Yeah, we're not trying to have a debate here this lunchtime, I should stress, about the merits of the bill. We're just trying to talk about how it's been handled and what's the right way to go about it.
I suppose what I'd say is that the bill, as Gina said at the outset, started with John Halligan in 2015. It didn't pass second stage at that time, so it didn't get road tested as such. We have had the opportunity to do that now at committee, and we've done that kind of detailed analysis. And we, I suppose our finding is, the most important finding is that this particular bill is not suitable to progress, to become a piece of legislation.
What is unsuitable about it, James?
Well, every section in it has technical errors. It doesn't meet the constitutional requirements. It's entirely inconsistent. Some sections within it refer to sections of other legislation which haven't actually been enacted yet. Other sections, I suppose, are somewhat vague, that they don't actually have a context or definitions to back them up. So the legal advice was that there are so many errors within it. It's almost incoherent as a piece of legislation. And I say that very gently because I don't want to be in any way disparaging towards the sponsors of the bill. But as a piece of legislation, and I think for something, this is literally a matter of life and death. And regardless of review on the issue, this is something that's going to be challenged in the courts. This is something that's going to be challenged. This is something that medical practitioners as well will need absolute certainty on. When they go to practice this, if it's introduced, they need to know where is it at, what can they do, what can they not do, what are the consequences. And Deputy, can you refer to the Mary Fleming Supreme Court decision? One of the findings of the Supreme Court at that time was there isn't a right to die in the Constitution, but a right to die a natural death, a right to die in this way. But that's not to say you can't legislate for it. But if you do legislate for it, the Supreme Court has said you must have robust safeguards. And that's another area where this bill fell down. Now, there was an attempt, to be fair to Gina, there was an attempt to put them in. But as drafted, they just aren't fit for purpose. So I think the best thing to do is, it's a really significant body of work. There's a huge amount of work still to be done. When they did this in Western Australia, the bill ran to 128 pages. The bill we were looking at was 11 pages. Other jurisdictions have done it. But it's taken a while, and they've done a detailed analysis. So my view, I think, and the view of the committee is, let's do that analysis. Let's work out the policy issues. Let's work out the legal issues. Okay. And let's come back to it in the lifetime of the stall, I would hope.
Okay, well, then let's go back then to Gino Kenny about that. Because, Gino, I wonder, I'm sure that you didn't present this bill thinking that it was going to be the finished article, and you were always on board with the idea of making whatever amendments or wholesale changes that needed to be made. But what do you think about the committee's general finding that the bill in its current position is basically unsalvageable?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, Gavin, I'm very, very disappointed that, you know, the Justice Committee have, you know, give this recommendation. Considering that it took 9 months, there was no scrutiny in public for such a public issue. Everything was done in private.
Yeah, I'll come back to James on that in just a moment.
And there was a legal analysis, and that legal analysis says, look, you know, the main thing we got from it that the bill wasn't unconstitutional. It could be amended at a further stage, at pre-led or at the committee stage. Mm. So that could be, that could have been overcome. But elements of the Justice Committee were overcome by fear, and that fear has now scuppered the issue, you know, to a certain degree. You know, we will come back, you know, at a further date to kind of to address all them issues. But I was really, really disappointed with the way it was, by the way, it was, you know, scrutinised. There was no public engagement for such a public issue.
Yeah, well, let's go back to James then on that, because you mentioned how rigorous the scrutiny that you undertook on the bill, James, the pre-committee scrutiny for the bill, and you saw it and you got over 1,400 submissions. But about the actual hearings that you had, because it does seem as if you had some very brief private hearings where you went through the qualities and the alleged merits and demerits and all the submissions, and then you got one piece of advice from the parliamentary legal advisers, and that was enough for you to decide that this bill couldn't be salvaged in its current form. But why was it all done in private?
Well, let me just talk about the advice first. The piece of legal advice, the one piece of advice that you mentioned, was actually longer than the bill itself, right? So to suggest that this, I think Jeannie used the phrase overcome by fear, I think is a bit of a stretch. Personally, as a legislator who considers himself a progressive legislator who voted for the bill at second stage, I would have quite fancied the opportunity to actually run with this as a piece of work over the next couple of months, maybe even years. It would have been a seminal piece of work that would have been groundbreaking. So,
but why do all the analysis in private?
So the first thing when a bill is referred to a joint committee is to see, there's a couple of tests that must pass. Is there a policy area identified and is the bill legally sound? They're the first two. So any bill that comes through to any committee has those two, the first two tests. Now, the analysis that goes into those tests is a call for submissions, a policy briefing and a legal briefing. Now, the legal briefing is the primary one. And unfortunately, the answer from the legal people was, no, this is not fit for purpose and it cannot be salvaged as it is. You'd be better off to start again. But the legal advice, no more than the Attorney General's advice, although the Parliamentary Legal Advisor is independent and is very much independent of government, legal advice is not normally published ever. That's the way government has worked for decades. On this occasion, I made a particular request of the head of the Parliamentary Legal Advice Service that we would include that advice in our report. So we've issued a report. It's publicly available.
Yes, it's on rockstar.ie. It's about 49 pages I've got in front of me.
Absolutely, yeah. So again, the report is four times longer than the bill itself. And that has the legal advice contained in summary form. So we did what we could do. And to be honest, if we had stuck to the letter of the law and the standing orders and all the rest of it, we wouldn't have even done that. What we could have done is taken one set of legal advice back in January and said, sorry, not fit for purpose, ends here. We tried to do as much as we could within the parameters.
But you can understand, why those, James, who might advocate for the contents of the bill, who would like there to be legalised assisted suicide, or even, and some people I've spoken to this week, who don't support the aims of the bill, but who feel like it was very harshly treated because of how all of this was done behind closed doors, that the Dáil had a vote last autumn, that the bill was sent to your committee, and now without there being very much transparency about how it went through its work, albeit with this report published afterwards, that the committee has decided that basically the bill cannot be salvaged and has to be allowed to wither on the vine now. And people don't see that as being very transparent.
Sure. Well, I suppose it's also, we were keen not to create false expectation. So we could have easily spun wheels for another 6 months. And we could have said, we're going to bring in all different stakeholders. We're going to have a round of oral hearings. And ultimately, those stakeholders would have been talking about the merits of the idea, I suspect, rather than of the bill itself.
Okay.
The only thing we were tasked with, the only thing we could do, what happened in that last November, was that the bill itself, nothing more, nothing less, was referred to our committee for detailed scrutiny and legal analysis. And that's exactly what we did, and actually more than would normally be done. Unfortunately, I think it would have been a far better. The other thing I'd say is, had the opportunity to convene a special committee last November, which was offered by the government, and actually it's notable that both the Minister for Health and the Minister for Justice voted for this bill at second stage when the free vote came along, but there was a very much openness on the part of government. Now, I wasn't part of that. I'm not in government TD, but I'm not part of the cabinet, obviously. There was an openness and a willingness to convene a special committee immediately that could have done the detailed analysis, that could have brought in the stakeholders, had the public consultations. That would be 9 months in by now, had that happened then. Now, we're saying, look, let's not delay any further. You know, we're saying the business committee, the Dáil, can convene that committee now. That committee, I believe, is needed. I believe trying to shoehorn a flawed piece of legislation through a committee that also has multiple other commitments. The Justice Committee has the single biggest legislative workload in the entire Oireachtas. We have produced to date more than any other committee put together in terms of the bills that we put through. Week by week by week, we have a mountain of work, which we're getting through very expeditiously. But we just don't have neither the capacity nor the mandate to perform a thorough examination of all the wide issues that come into play in this area. So all we could do was study the bill itself. The bill itself, unfortunately, was flawed. But just to finish maybe at this point for this piece, we would not be unique in that. In Westminster, there have been 10 different attempts to legislate for this, I think up to 8 different sponsors over a course of since 1997. I mentioned Western Australia. It took 19 rounds of committee review and back and forth in Western Australia to get the bill passed. New Zealand, they had a public consultation which led to a referendum, which led to the bill being passed. So this is not easy. This is not something, like a bread and butter bill that you can rubber stamp and say, fine, on to the next stage.
No.
Let's see where it goes. And this is something you have to get right.
And I'm sure everyone accepts that you have to get that right. And I'm sure even Gino himself would accept that you have to get it right. But I suppose, Gino, what this now means is that although the Dáil voted last year against sending this for a general scrutiny by a standalone select committee that was set up precisely for this purpose, now, about 12 months after that happened, that's the Dáil voted against doing that, now you're going to find yourself having to go down that avenue anyway. And I wonder how you feel about that.
Yeah, that's what would seem to be the case. And I would dispute the fact that what James said about the Justice Committee not having kind of the remit to look at this in public session. I mean, I think that's the least they could have done, you know. I mean, it put out submission in relation to written submissions in November. It got 1,400 submissions. Mm. Surely, to look at the broad spectrum of the debate, you could have invited, you know, guests in, said from the broad spectrum of the debate. But look, that's water under the bridge. As I said, I'm very disappointed. Mm. A special Oireachtas committee, hopefully, will be set up in the autumn. And you will bring all them stakeholders in. And in the meantime, we'll be redrafting a new bill that kind of will address some of the legal issues the OPLA have kind of stated. Mm.
But I think do you have the resources of the parliamentary legal team? Like, do you now have access to them to help you try and sculpt it in the way that you think is needed?
Yes. I've contacted them, and I'll be contacting the Minister of Justice, to Kieran Carl of the Business Committee, to obviously to see, get a date for the Special Oireachtas Committee. But in the meantime, in tandem, we'll be redrafting a whole new bill that will address some of them issues. But look, Gavin, a lot of opposition bills and any bill can be kind of, you know, constitutional challenges can be applied to like literally any piece of legislation. Mm. So again, the Justice Committee, to me, haven't dealt with this issue at all. And I understand where James is coming from and others that have, you know, voted in October to kind of bring this bill to progress the bill to the Justice Committee. And there is a groundswell of opinion and the public opinion that we, you know, we need to see, you know, change and reform in relation to voluntary assisted dying. And I'm confident, even this is a setback, that in the lifetime of this Dáil, that we can legislate for voluntary assisted dying in Ireland.
Which is something that James has just said as well. And James, I'll just finish on you. If this is now going to have to go to a special committee, if your committee can't deal with the bill that's there, and if it needs to be sent to a new special committee created solely for this purpose to examine the whole issue from the ground up, I suppose some people might worry that all of the submissions that you've already received are all effectively now nullified and people will have to start the whole process again. And you could find another committee being set up which is going to have to find itself duplicating a lot of what you've already done.
Yeah, so a couple of things there. One of the reasons that I was keen and the committee were keen to get this dealt with before the summer break was to avoid the losing time, you know, rather than kicking this into touch. And certainly we could have possibly now, I'm told standing orders precluded it because all we had to do was make a decision, go or no go when it came to us.
Okay.
But had we tried to have extensive hearings, that would just delay things. And one of the things we have done, again, which isn't, I understand the norm, but I suppose insisted on it, was that all the materials that came to us, the legal advice, the submissions, the policy advice, the deliberations, they're not documents of the committee. They are documents of the committee, but we can pass them on to whoever takes the ball back and forward.
So they don't immediately all lapse. You can pass them onwards.
They won't be lost. Yeah, and the other thing, just to come back to something that Gino said, and again, I applaud Gino's commitment to this, and look, we've had many discussions on it, and I absolutely recognise where he's coming from. And I come from a similar place, because I'm actually personally very open to this. I think it's something we do need to progress. But I know he's talking about redrafting the bill again. And perhaps that would be useful, but I think what would be more useful, we need to have the analysis. We need to have that conversation. And I would just worry about putting cart before the horse. If Gino and his colleagues go and draft a bill again, before that special committee has done the deliberation, they might find themselves in this situation 12 months on. Had that opportunity been taken last year to convene a special committee, we could actually be looking at a first draft of a bill now that was fit for purpose. So I just think it's important we don't waste time in this, that we get it right. We acknowledge there's a serious debate that has to be had. We get the legal, the policy, the medical, the health, the whole lot. Into one room in a committee that's specially convened for that purpose and has the capacity and the mandate to do that.
Okay.
And that, I think, is the best way to take it forward.
It is certainly a sensitive subject, and it's something that needs to be approached sensitively as well, and the legislation does need to reflect all of that. So we'll see exactly what comes of it. For now, thank you both for joining me this Sunday lunchtime. Gino Kenny, People for Profit TD, who's the sponsor of the Dying with Dignity Bill, and also James Lawless, who is the chair of the Oireachtas Joint Committee on Justice, which has issued a report on it this week.